no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hey there. Welcome. I'm Amelia Dalton. So just the other day, I was doing some cleanup in my basement, and I found a box that contained not one, not two, but four different evolutions of my personal cell phone ownership. There was a flip phone that I did lose and find again at CES. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Two different Palm Treos and a smash to bits, never mind how that happened, iPhone 3. It got me thinking. We have come so far in such a short amount of time. The evolution of the smartphone is something quite amazing. This week's guest is Finbar Moynihan of MediaTek, and he is here to talk about this very thing. And most importantly for this broadcast, how the smartphone evolution is changing the course of our engineering lives. But before we introduce Finbar, did you hear the one about the two-headed space-traveling worm? And no, this week's news you may have missed isn't a plotline from Mystery Science Theater 3000. It really did happen. Okay, so enter the planarium flatworm. You see, planarium flatworms are pretty awesome, as worms go. They have these amazing regenerative abilities. Not only can they regrow small parts of their bodies, they can also regenerate complex organs. Need a new central nervous system? Bam! No problem. So, why not send them to space? So that's exactly what a group of researchers did. So two groups of worms were sent to the International Space Station. One had their tails and heads cut off, and the other was a control group with heads and tails intact. So one of the worms with the amputated head and tails, while it was in space, actually regrew two heads. And even better, scientists on the International Space Station then cut off those two heads because they're mean or something. And then you know what happened? Yep, you guessed it. That overly zealous flatworm grew another two heads. Now, you might say, but Amelia, I thought these planarium flatworms did that kind of thing, right? Well, yes, they can regrow a whole bunch of different body parts, but apparently growing two heads is incredibly rare. So rare, at least on Earth that is, that in 18 years of working with these flatworms, this group of scientists has never observed another case of two heads are better than one. Okay, so what is the big takeaway from this heady space research? Get it? Heady? Well, this team of researchers are especially curious about how microgravity and hypomagnetic environments, like in space, could be used to trigger desired morphological, neurological, and physiological changes for various regenerative and bioengineering applications. In other words, holy moly, can we regenerate limbs, organs, or the like in space? Because that would be handy. Get it? Handy? Man, I'm on a roll today. Okay, enough puns. If you want even more information about this super cool study of the regenerative qualities of planarian flatworms on the International Space Station, I've included a link below the player that will take you to a white paper entitled Planarian Regeneration in Space: Persistent Anatomical, Behavioral, and Bacteriological Changes Induced by Space Travel. All right, it's finally time to bring in Finbar Moynihan from MediaTek. Keep in mind, my loyal fish frying audience, this interview bridges the Pacific Ocean, so the audio quality was a bit compromised. All right, let's dig into the engineering of the next smartphone revolution. Hi, Finbar. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia.
So, first off, tell my audience, what is MediaTek all about?
So MediaTek is a fabless chipset company. We are the third largest fabless chipset company and the 10th largest semiconductor company. And really, we're about, you know, powering consumer devices. Last year, MediaTek Solutions powered about 1.5 billion consumer products. Our goal is really to deliver, you know, capable, efficient chipset solutions that deliver price points and deliver products to consumers that enhance and delight their lives as easily as possible. We also just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So we've just celebrated 20 years since we were founded. We think we've helped shape really that consumer experience, consumer tech industry over the last couple of years. And really what we're looking forward to is connecting the next billion people in the years
to come. So let's talk about the evolution of the smartphone. Now, we've seen an explosion of new features and devices just in the last 5 years. And tell me how you think this affects the engineering side of things. And do you think this will allow for more avenues of engineering experimentation?
Sure. Yeah, I think explosion is a fair way to describe it. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we look back at the evolution of the smartphone over the last couple of years, people were initially happy to have devices that could do things like browse the internet, play games, navigation, you know, take decent photographs. But now that we've got 2017, I think we've reached a point where, you know, the industry is getting close to 1.5 billion units of smartphones sold every year. For many people, it's more of a replacement market. You know, people are moving on to second, third, fourth smartphones, whatever it might be. Certainly, I think getting more difficult and more challenging to kind of delight people with features and form factors to really kind of stand out. But we still think that there's a lot more to happen here. And I think a lot of it is really starting to focus, you know, less on, say, the communication piece, right? Because, you know, we've reached 4G, LTE networks are fairly broadly available. The data rates that these devices can deliver are already most of the consumer needs. And it's really becoming, I think, much more about delighting the consumer, delighting the user with the experience, the user experience. Some examples of that we can think about are major focus right now in the area of cameras, dual lens cameras, dual cameras, really bringing, I think, a much richer camera experience, getting close to the performance of DSLR type images with dual sensors, dual lenses to really use and harness some of the computing power and some of the capabilities that are built into the smartphones to give that, you know, very high-quality camera experience. And that's certainly an area we're seeing a lot of innovation and a lot of technology development in these days. And I think that will continue for a while to come. We're also still seeing work around the form factors or modular phones, different types of displays, different types of form factors. Again, I think trying to give people a different experience for certain segments of the market. You know, one example of that might be Alcatel A5 phone, where they launched it at Mobile World Congress this year with some innovative features around LED displays on the back that give some different use cases, for example.
So, Finbar, as our technology gets smarter, how do you see that having an effect on how consumers relate to their phones? And how does it affect our lives as engineers?
Very good question. I think we're really at a very interesting turning point here in the industry. People are starting to rely more and more, if I at least speak for myself, people are relying more and more on their devices to know us better, almost to know what we want before we know it ourselves, right? And I think we're really at the cusp of a very interesting set of new technologies, you know, whether it's predictive technologies, machine learning, artificial intelligence, really starting to shape the way we interact with our devices. We're starting to see this now with the voice assistants already, right, and the use of voice and predictive technologies and, of course, all of the cloud and machine learning technologies that sit behind that to really change the way we interact with and we experience our devices. I think we're going to see, kind of building on what I was talking about earlier with the camera capability, the fact that there's going to be much richer, much higher resolution, much higher quality cameras and dual cameras and multiple cameras built onto these phones. I think that's also going to open up a whole new wave of computer vision, image recognition, machine learning technologies. I think in the future we'll be doing a lot more with images in terms of searching and use case interactions with the phone. So I think we're really kind of on the start of a whole new wave of how we interact with these devices. Obviously, then as an engineer and the engineering side, that's going to, I think, drive a lot of new areas and a lot of new technologies. Obviously, the voice assistants are going to require much better audio and acoustic capabilities on the phone, always on sensor capabilities for listening and for those wake-up words to react to. And the imaging and the computer vision stuff, of course, is going to drive not only, you know, camera sensors and camera modules, but also how we process those images on the devices. And then I think there's also going to be an interesting set of technologies developed around those machine learning APIs. So there are kind of Google's TensorFlow and well-known standards like CAFE being developed as interfaces for these machine learning capabilities, some of which will be done on device, some of which will be done in the
cloud.
So
where do you see the most growth happening? On a global scale and on a technology front?
Sure. I mean, if we talk about the technology front, first of all, I think what we're starting to see is a new category of devices emerging that we're calling the new premium. We have a line of products which we call Helio that sort of tap into this, but it's really about what I was alluding to earlier. The market, we think, is sort of moving into an interesting place where people are looking for that high-performance experience, but are also, I think, always looking at affordability as more and more people are paying the full retail price for the devices. The value for money, the price performance becomes very important. So we're seeing this sort of new premium category develop where people are looking for those high-end experiences at affordable prices, whether that's for consumers in developed markets that are just looking for affordability, or whether it's really consumers, very large number of consumers in the emerging markets, moving maybe from their first smartphone to second or third smartphone as they move into the replacement cycle. So what we're trying to do is lower the barriers for innovation. We also take a lot of energy to support smaller brands, smaller players that compete maybe for specific parts of the market, specific niches, specific performance sets. On the technology side, we, of course, continue to drive forward some of the technologies that we were talking about in terms of dual camera imaging, support for some of these new features like voice assistants, machine learning, computer vision, artificial intelligence, as well as things like AR, VR experiences. And of course, longer term, you know, we also continue to work on the communications technology, whether that's moving into LTE advanced type networks or looking to 5G in the future. And the challenge for all of us in the smartphone business, of course, is, you know, all of this technology is fantastic, all of this technology is great, but it still has to be delivered in a way that is efficient in terms of power, you know, because at the end of the day, we all want our devices to last longer. We don't want to be charging them all day. So we always have to do this in a way that's sort of carefully consistent with the price and the power performance that are expected for these kind of devices.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Finbar.
Thanks, Amelia. It's good talking
to you. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, yes, I will be in Austin, Texas next week at the Design Automation Conference. So if you see me on the show floor, give me a shout out. I'd love to meet my loyal fans. And if you have any tips about the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that sort of stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 16th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.